Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. In his unfinished work, The Pensées, Blaise Pascal makes a very important and useful distinction between two different mindsets, or you might say approaches to life and thinking and reasoning, that we translate in English typically as the mathematical mind or intellect in some other places in the work, and the intuitive mind. Intuitive is not necessarily the best translation, but it certainly has stuck, and there are a few things that Pascal says that give you a sense why intuitive would be a term that translators would gravitate to. In French, these terms are the esprit de géométrie, and esprit means mind, but also you could say mindset. Spirit, of course, is a cognate of it, and the esprit de finesse. Pascal will also use in another passage where he's talking about the esprit de géométrie, he will also talk about the esprit de justesse. And the idea behind justesse or finesse that gets us to intuitive is that a person who has this approach to things is able to sort of see into matters and without necessarily employing rules or regulations or reasoning processes, sort of feel their way to the best solution, to what is true, to what is just, to what is beautiful, to what is required within the situation. Now, I want to say from the beginning that this is not supposed to be a dichotomy where you look at it and you say, well, am I this type of person or am I this type of person? Pascal says there are some people who don't have either of these, and he calls those people what's translated in English as weak minds, and in the French version of it, the original version, esprit faux, meaning essentially a mind that just cannot get to the truth. There are many people who lack either of these basic dispositions or mindsets. It's also possible, he says, that a person who has a mathematical mind or a geometrical mind, what we might call the formal, the axiomatic, the mechanical mind, could in fact also have the esprit de finesse. And likewise, the person who has the esprit de finesse or the intuitive mind could in fact also have to some degree the geometrical mind. So these are not diametrical opposites. These do not divide up humanity into intuitive and mathematical, let alone left brain, right brain people. These are two different, you might say, dispositional skill sets and ways of approaching reality, both of which are useful, both of which, in fact, have their place. So how do they differ from each other? What is characteristic of each of these? You notice that in his discussion of them, Pascal is going to talk about principles. And that's just, you know, a direct translation from the French, principe, meaning starting points. In the geometrical or the mathematical mindset, we begin from starting points that are, as he says, palpable, which means that we can grasp them. They are right there in front of us. Much of the time, he says, we're not actually attending to them unless we are engaged in a discipline such as geometry. Geometry, I should mention here, does not just mean the sort of thing that you encounter in geometry class in middle school, high school, college, in geometry textbooks. It includes everything that can be axiomatized, that can be given a mathematical modeling, everything that falls within that province. So it include a lot of what we typically think of as going beyond mere mathematics and geometry to its application in real life, including technology and computers and coding, things like that. Now, he says the principles that are being relied upon, that are being grasped by the mathematical mind, are removed from common use. They're not the sort of thing that the average person in their day-to-day life is typically encountering. And that's why the average person is sort of out of their depth at first, at least at the beginning, until they get some experience and some training under their belt when it comes to these sorts of matters. And so, you know, think about a geometry class. When you first start studying mathematics, some things are very clear, right? If you need 1 plus 1 equals 2 proven to you, you've got some problems. But there's a lot of other things in mathematics where if you open up a mathematics or geometry textbook, you look at the symbols and the notation, you're like, what the hell is this about, right? But then once you have the code explained to you and you wrap your head around the key concepts, it all falls into place fairly easily. And it's the same thing with many other formal systems as well, which can, in fact, be modeled through mathematics. The principles, he says, when we actually do look at them, turn out to be quite clear. They turn out to be understandable, at least for the person who's willing to apply him or herself. And the mathematical mindset uses those principles and processes of reasoning and definitions and axioms, the sort of, you know, reasoning processes that begin from these clear starting points, and you show your work along the way, and then you get to the end and it makes sense and you can sort of trace your way back. That's what, in fact, the mathematical mindset looks like. And it's, like I said, not just a matter of mathematics. Anything that you could formalize in that way, where adequate performance would result from following the rules, following the reasoning processes, not getting those sorts of things wrong, really fits into the mathematical mindset. Now, by contrast, let's talk about the intuitive mind, or the esprit de finesse. When we have an English cognate term, to finesse something, right? When you finesse a relationship, or you finesse a negotiation, or you are trying to break into a place and you use some finesse to open up the lock or something like that. What are you doing? You're kind of feeling your way to the right solution, to what makes the best sense given those circumstances. And in this case, Pascal says the principles are found in common use. The average person could, in fact, have the intuitive mind. Many don't, of course. Like I said, many lack either of these, according to Pascal. But the intuitive mind grasps these principles in a way different than the mathematical mind, or different from the ordinary person. Why? Because the principles, as he says, are subtle. He uses other terms like fine. They are somewhat difficult to grasp. Sometimes it takes some experience. Sometimes it takes looking at it from different points of view and thinking it through. We'll talk about some examples, but I just want to give you one right now. When you think about tasting, when you're making a dish and you're cooking, say, a sauce, you taste from time to time, and you're like, you know, I think that needs a little bit more salt. How much salt, the mathematician would ask? A dash. Now, a dash, of course, that's a matter of finesse. That's not a matter of mathematics. You know, a pinch. How much is a pinch? The mathematical mind would say, well, you know, about this much. And then you taste it some more. That's a little bit too much. Maybe we need to add something now to balance out the salt, like a tiny little bit of sugar, or perhaps a bit of vinegar to add some sourness to it. That's what the esprit de finesse is doing. They're working with many different things, all of which are in play at the same time, And they're in some way processing all of this and balancing it all out and taking account of the entire idea. So the principles, as he says, are subtle and they are many. They are multiple. They're numerous, is the way the translation goes. Some of them actually need, as he says, to be felt rather than seen. And here we can understand felt as not, you know, necessarily feeling with the fingers, but felt as in sensing affectively, having a grasp on it, rather than just like looking at the numbers, looking at what's provided to you. You have to have a sense, as we say, or an intuitive grasp. This is why it gets translated as the intuitive mind. What else? The person who has the esprit de finesse takes in these principles, as Pascal says, in one glance. It's not that they don't do any reasoning, but they're not showing their work. They're not doing so in a way that other people would easily be able to follow along, or they would easily be able to express and articulate either to themselves or to somebody else. As a matter of fact, when you combine the two of these, you get something very, very powerful, which is an intuitive mind that is able to express itself in ways that can then be learned by another person. But that takes a lot of work. So they take in these principles at one glance. And as Pascal says, it's very important that they take in all of the principles, because if you leave one of them out, things can go haywire. And this is why people who are so used to sort of a mathematical, geometric, rules-based approach to things do so poorly when it comes to enterprises and activities and projects that really require the intuitive mind, because they say, well, I did all the things I was supposed to do. And you're like, well, in this case, you left this out, and this turns out to be quite important. Well, I didn't know I was supposed to look at that. Well, you know, I wish you would have seen that in this case. I wish you would have checked in with me, because then I could have said, attend to this principle over here. Of course, the intuitive mind person is not going to generally talk in terms of principles, but they'll say, well, have you thought about this? Or, hey, what about that? Now, with that basic distinction down, can we think of examples of activities, besides, of course, mathematics, that would fall under this? Think about how to bake a cake. Baking and pastry is actually, compared to other forms of cooking, very precise. In some respects, you could say that it fits the mathematical mind a bit better than, say, making sauces or cooking a roast or barbecuing. Barbecuing is very much, when you do it well, a matter of the intuitive mind. How much longer does it need to smoke? I'll know when I get there. That's the intuitive mind talking, if it turns out good. Of course, if it turns out bad, then you've got, you know, one of those weak minds that Pascal was talking about. So, you know, we can talk in terms of cuisine. We can talk in terms of tasting and connoisseurship. We can also talk in terms of product development. Product development, I think, is in large part a matter of the mathematical mind. How much sugar, how much corn syrup should we add to this? Really, the answer for corn syrup is none. But a lot of the things that we eat that is processed foods have a lot of that in there. And that comes from ignoring very important facets that would be left out, and that the intuitive mind would grasp these principles. Like, well, the food actually needs to taste good, not just like every other thing that's made with corn syrup. Falling in love and not screwing it up. Definitely a matter of the intuitive mind, right? Giving psychological advice. In some respects, it could be made a matter of the mathematical mind. Think about cognitive behavior therapy and some of the protocols that they've developed and the treatment plan, formulas and templates. Some of these things can, in fact, be understood in very mathematical ways. how to deal with this particular client who has trauma in this way. How many sessions is it going to require? That might actually be a decision made much better by somebody who has the intuitive approach. What to say at the right time? What is going to be the, you might say, liberationary thing, the interpretation to offer to the client? There's no rules for that. So this is a very important distinction. Pascal says a few other things that I wanted to mention here. He says that the intuitive minds are astonished when they're presented with propositions of which they understand nothing, and the way to which is through definitions and axioms so sterile and which they are not accustomed to see in detail that they are repelled and disheartened. So there is a kind of incomprehension that can happen with people who are very much in this mindset when it comes to the mathematical mind that wants to know, well, how are you actually proving this? Or what are your steps on the way? Or why did you make decisions this way? And when it comes to understanding these things, this is why a lot of people say, I just don't get math. It's not that they don't get math. If they put in the work and the effort, they would get the math, but that's harder for the intuitive mind because it's accustomed to doing things in a different way. Likewise, the mathematical mind, when it's sort of overdeveloped and underdeveloped in this area, has a very hard time figuring out what the hell this person is doing. How did they arrive at this decision? What's going on here? It seems very messy, very arbitrary, very, here's one of the words, subjective, right? And there is a sort of distrust on both sides sometimes. Pascal, however, wants to make the case that if you are in either of these mindsets, you would really be strengthened by taking up the other side and understanding it. So he says, mathematicians who are only mathematicians have exact minds, provided all things are explained to them by means of definitions and axioms. Otherwise, they're inaccurate and insufferable. They're only right when the principles are quite clear. Men of intuition who are only intuitive cannot have the patience to reach the first principles of things speculative and conceptual, which they've never seen in the world. These are pits that they can fall into. However, if they do, in fact, learn the language, the mindset of the other side, they have a greater potential for getting to the truth of things. So that is this fundamental distinction. Pascal does have a few other things to say about it in other of his thoughts, but that is encapsulated how he treats it in the fragment that is entitled The Mathematical Mind and the Intuitive Mind. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.